Usually when you picture a cyber attack, your brain just defaults to like a very specific movie scene.
Oh, yeah, always.
Right, like it's some guy in a dark, neon-lit room and he's just furiously hammering away on a keyboard.
And there's always that green code raining down the screen.
Exactly, a massive red progress bar, slowly ticking up to 100% as he, hacks the mainframe.
It's highly cinematic. There's always like a literal glowing digital firewall that they have to smash through using some, I don't know, custom-built brute force algorithm. The stakes are high, the music is tense.
But if you look at the reality of how enterprise breaches actually happen today, that Hollywood image is completely dead.
Yeah, it really is.
And we are unpacking a massive stack of notes today. We've got you here in the room with us for this deep dive, and we're looking at a really comprehensive 2026 career guide.
From SailPoint Masters, right?
Right. It's titled, Is SailPoint Good for Cybersecurity Careers in 2026? And honestly, the most terrifying fact in this entire document, the thing that kind of sets the stage for everything else we're going to talk about, is that hackers aren't breaking through firewalls anymore.
No, they're not.
They are just logging in.
Which is, I mean, it forces a fundamental shift in how we have to approach enterprise security altogether. Because when a bad actor can just, buy a stolen password on the dark web
Right.
or trick an employee with a phishing email, they really don't need to be a coding genius to compromise an entire global
They
corporation
just walk right through the front door.
using perfectly valid credentials. Yeah.
Which is exactly why we are doing this deep dive today. Our mission here is to figure out, is learning this specific security tool SailPoint, is it just picking up another temporary tech fad?
Like something you'll have to unlearn in 3 years.
Exactly. Or does it actually represent a highly lucrative, highly defensible, and future-proof career path in a cybersecurity landscape that is, frankly, evolving at light speed?
And it's the perfect question to ask, primarily because the cybersecurity industry is, well, it's notorious for loving a new buzzword.
Oh, absolutely.
But when you look at the underlying mechanics detailed in this guide, this isn't just a shiny new toy. It's a structural response to a permanent, irreversible change in how businesses operate and store their data.
Okay, so let's unpack this.
Yep.
Before we even touch the software itself, we have to talk about identity and access management, or IAM.
Right.
And reading through these notes, I kept trying to like visualize how this actually works in the real world.
Yeah.
So if IAM is the heavy deadbolt on the front door of an enterprise,
Okay, I like this.
and authentication, so like your password or your fingerprint, is the bouncer checking your ID at that door, then SailPoint is doing something entirely different.
Very different.
It feels a lot more like a casino pit boss.
That's actually a phenomenal way to frame identity governance and administration, or IGA. To build on that pit boss analogy, think about what happens after you get past the bouncer.
Right, the bouncer's job is completely done.
Done. But the pit boss doesn't just watch who comes in. They are constantly tracking what tables you're sitting at. They're deciding if you're actually allowed to bet that high based on your VIP status. And the absolute second you stop working for the casino, or, the moment you break a single rule,
Like swoop in.
they swoop in, they kick you out, and they revoke your chips. It's this continuous active monitoring of what you are authorized to do once you are already inside.
Which highlights, I guess, why that casino pit boss is suddenly the single most important person in corporate security. Because for decades, the enterprise security model was basically a medieval castle and a moat.
Yes. You build a strong perimeter firewall, the moat, and you just assume everyone who makes it inside the castle walls is inherently trustworthy.
Because your employees came into a physical building.
Right, they badged in, they used a desktop computer that was physically plugged into the wall.
But then remote work just exploded.
It did. And cloud computing took over, and those castle walls completely evaporated. Today, I mean, your employees might be logging in from a coffee shop in Bengaluru,
Yeah.
accessing an HR application hosted on Amazon Web Services AWS, and they might be using their personal iPad to do it.
So there is no physical perimeter anymore?
None. As the source material explicitly states, the new security perimeter is identity. Who you are is basically the only boundary left.
Which introduces us to zero trust.
Yeah.
That's a concept that gets thrown around in almost every tech article lately, but it finally makes sense to me in this context.
Yeah, zero trust architecture really strips away the old assumptions. It basically mandates that you assume no user, no device, and no network is automatically trusted, ever.
Even if they're inside.
It does not matter if they are already inside the network. But to actually execute a zero trust strategy, an organization has to constantly answer some incredibly difficult questions.
Like what?
Like, who has access to this highly sensitive financial database? Should they still have that access today? And crucially, and this is a big one, when the government auditors show up, can we prove with hard data that every single employee only possesses the exact minimum access they need to do their jobs?
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting, but also where I feel like I need to push back just a little bit.
Sure, go for it.
If the core problem is just keeping track of who has passwords to what applications, why on earth do we need a massive, specialized platform to do this?
It's a fair question.
I mean, managing a list of access rights sounds like something a really well-organized, massive spreadsheet and a team of IT folks running a few automated scripts could handle. Why has this spawned an entire multi-billion-dollar sub-industry?
It's completely logical to think a spreadsheet could handle it, honestly, because that is exactly what Fortune 500 companies used to try to do.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But let's scale this up using a scenario provided in the guide. Imagine a global enterprise with 50,000 employees.
Okay, 50,000.
And those employees are interacting with hundreds of different applications, everything from basic email to proprietary financial ledgers to specialized cloud storage to, you know, customer relationship managers.
Okay, so 50,000 employees times, let's say, 50 apps each. I mean, that is a massive amount of data, but it's still just a database, right?
If the data was static, sure. But let's look at the daily chaotic reality of that workforce. People are hired, people are promoted, people change departments, and people are fired every single day.
Right.
In the industry, this is known as the joiner, mover, lever life cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So let's create a hypothetical employee, John.
Okay, let's talk about John.
John works in accounts payable. He has access to the systems that issue checks.
Makes sense.
But then John gets promoted. And he moves over to procurement, where he is now in charge of approving new vendors. So he needs new access to the vendor database.
Okay, so IT just gives him the access.
Exactly. If this is managed manually, the IT department gets a ticket, and they grant John his new procurement access. But they're busy, they're overworked, and they forget to manually log into the other system and revoke his old account's payable access.
I see where this is going.
Right. So now John can approve a fake vendor in procurement.
And then literally walk over to his old system and issue a real check to that fake vendor.
Precisely. It's the nightmare scenario. We call that a toxic combination of access. Multiply John's situation by 50,000 people shifting roles over, say, 5 years.
And a manual spreadsheet isn't just inefficient.
It is a massive ticking compliance bomb just waiting to detonate. I mean, a hacker doesn't even need to steal the CEO's password. They just need to compromise John's overgrown, bloated account.
So the platform is required just to manage the sheer velocity of all these changes.
That is the core of lifecycle management. SailPoint basically automates the entire process. It integrates directly with HR. The millisecond John's title changes in the HR system, SailPoint automatically provisions his new access and ruthlessly deprovisions or revokes the access he no longer needs.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You mentioned government auditors earlier, though.
Yeah.
How does this platform actually solve the audit problem? Because saying you're secure internally is very different from legally proving it to an auditor.
Well, absolutely. This is where a feature called access certification campaigns comes in. SailPoint automates a process where, for example, every 90 days, every single manager in the company receives a clean, simple dashboard.
Like an automated email.
Yeah, basically. And it asks them to review and certify exactly what their direct reports have access to. The manager just clicks approve or revoke, and SailPoint creates this pristine, immutable paper trail proving the company is actively governing its data.
Wow. And looking at the source notes, it looks like if you're getting into this field, SailPoint isn't just one monolithic piece of software that you download.
No.
There's a whole family of products you'd be architecting.
Yes, and differentiating them is really crucial for anyone looking at job descriptions. First, you have Identity Security Cloud. This is their modern flagship platform.
Okay.
It's fully cloud native, delivered as software as a service. And what really sets it apart is that it uses AI-driven analytics to actively recommend those access decisions, you know, spotting anomalies that human managers might miss.
And then there is the older, but I'm guessing still massively relevant stuff.
Yeah, that would be Identity IQ or IIQ. This is their highly customizable on-premises product. Massive enterprises think like global banks or defense contractors?
For ones with super complex security needs.
Exactly. People with bespoke needs that they have to host on their own servers, they still rely heavily on IIQ. So knowing it is a huge advantage in the job market. You might also come across Identity Now, which was their original cloud offering and kind of serves as the foundation for the identity security cloud portfolio today.
Okay, managing that kind of scale and integrating AI with complex enterprise architecture, that sounds incredibly intimidating.
It sounds like a lot.
It does.
Yeah.
If you were listening to this and looking at this career path, you might be wondering, like, do you need to be a savant level programmer to even get a first round interview? Are we talking about writing millions of lines of code from scratch here?
This is perhaps the single most encouraging takeaway from the entire career guide. The source describes SailPoint as offering an unusually attractive balance. It basically operates as the Goldilocks of cybersecurity careers.
Meaning it's not too hot and not too cold in terms of difficulty.
Exactly. Let's compare it to the extremes. If you want to be a penetration tester, so an ethical hacker, the barrier to entry is staggering.
Right.
You need deep, hands-on exploitation skills, high coding intensity, and you basically have to constantly outsmart other brilliant coders. It takes years to become proficient. On the opposite end of the spectrum, you have a security operations center analyst or SOC analyst.
That's the person staring at the monitors waiting for an alarm to go off.
Yeah. Right. It has a much lower barrier to entry, making it a very common starting point. But it is notoriously grueling. It's this broad, reactive monitoring work that often leaves severe alert fatigue. You are just triaging endless incoming threats.
So where does a SailPoint engineer sit on that spectrum?
Right. In the most lucrative sweet spot. The demand for the skill is incredibly high, which obviously drives up compensation, but the coding requirement is only moderate.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You do not have to be a full-time software engineer building applications from scratch. You are doing high-value project work.
Okay, but moderate is a subjective word. Let's ground that. What are the actual specific technical skills someone needs to learn to do this job day to day?
The foundation is just strong logical thinking, understanding how systems should flow. Technically, you need to understand Java basics.
Just basics.
Just basics. You aren't writing full Java applications, but you will use it to write custom rules and workflows. This is often done using bean shell scripting.
What's bean shell?
It's a lightweight scripting language heavily used in Identity IQ. You use it to say things like, if this user is a contractor, automatically expire their access in 30 days.
Okay, that sounds pretty manageable.
Mm.
What about getting all these different systems to talk to each other?
That requires an understanding of REST APIs. Think of a REST API as a digital messenger. When HR fires someone, the API is the messenger that sprints over to SailPoint and says, pull their access right now.
Got it.
You need to know how to configure those messengers. Finally, you need a solid grasp of SQL to query databases. But honestly, the reality of the day-to-day work is a blend of system configuration, light development, problem solving, and crucially, just communicating with stakeholders in HR and IT to figure out what their actual business needs are.
See, that makes it feel immensely more accessible than traditional software development.
Mm.
But we have to talk about the elephant in the room here.
Yeah.
Job security.
Let's do it.
Anyone who pays attention to the macroeconomic news sees tech layoffs constantly making headlines. AI is coding now. Companies are downsizing. Is a career in SailPoint immune to the boom and bust cycle of the broader tech industry?
To understand the stability of this role, we have to look at what drives the purchasing decisions. Companies buy new productivity software because they want to. They buy identity governance because they have to.
Yeah.
It is the ultimate corporate eat your vegetables mandate.
Because compliance doesn't care about the economy.
Precisely. The data in the source material highlights how global regulation is tightening like a vice. In the U.S., you have SOX, the Sarbanes-Oxley Act.
Right.
SOX essentially mandates that a CEO must personally sign off on the financial integrity of the company. If John from procurement can secretly alter the financial ledgers because of a toxic combination of access and the company can't prove who made the change, the executives can literally go to prison.
Oh, wow. So SailPoint is essentially executive liability insurance.
Yes, exactly. Add to that GDPR in Europe protecting consumer data, IIPA for healthcare records, and India's sweeping new DPDP Act, the Digital Personal Data Protection Act.
Which is huge.
It's massive. If a company fails an audit and cannot definitively prove who has access to private data, the regulatory fines are catastrophic. We're talking hundreds of millions of dollars. When budgets get tight, companies do not cut the software, keeping them out of federal court.
That explains why the market growth numbers in these notes are so staggering.
Yeah, the global IMM market was valued at roughly $25 billion U.S. dollars in 2026. Industry researchers project it to grow at a compound annual growth rate of 11 to 15%, rocketing to $42 billion by 2030.
That is sustained, explosive, double-digit growth.
It is.
But a growing software market only really benefits the worker if there's a shortage of people who actually know how to use it.
Which brings us to the talent scarcity. The 2025 ISC2 Cybersecurity Workforce Study revealed a global shortfall of 4.8 million cybersecurity professionals.
4.8 million. That is not a gap. That is a canyon.
It is a canyon. And the single largest regional deficit is in the Asia-Pacific region. This isn't generic IT support work that can be, you know, easily outsourced or automated away by a chatbot. Deep architectural expertise and a market-leading governance tool like SailPoint is remarkably rare.
Right.
In basic economics, when demand is heavily mandated by federal law and supplies is incredibly scarce, the value of the asset skyrockets. And in this equation, the trained professional is the asset.
Given that talent canyon, the leverage has to belong entirely to the worker right now. So let's get down to brass tacks. Show me the map and show me the money.
Okay.
If someone is sitting in a major tech hub right now, especially looking at the Indian market, which the source highlights so heavily, what does the trajectory actually look like?
Well, India is the perfect case study here because it has evolved far beyond basic IT support.
Yeah.
It has become the global engine room for complex identity security architecture. When a massive global bank rolls out SailPoint, they need a dedicated delivery center to handle the thousands of complex application integrations. The major IT corridors, so Hyderabad, Bengaluru, Pune, Chennai, Mumbai, and Delhi NCR, have built the exact infrastructure to support this at scale.
Right.
Global giants like Accenture, Deloitte, TCS, Infosys, and SailPoint's own engineering teams are aggressively hiring there.
So the infrastructure is there. What is the actual compensation reality?
The guide aggregates the 2026 market data, and the compounding value of this specialized knowledge is incredible. For a fresher, someone with 0 to 2 years of experience, starting salaries range between 4.5 to 7 lakhs per annum, or LPA.
Which is a very solid entry point.
It is, but watch the curve.
Yeah.
Mid-level professionals hitting that 3 to 5 year mark, they jump to 8 to 15 LPA. Seniors at 6 to 10 years are pulling in 16 to 28 LPA. And if you reach the lead or architect level with over a decade of experience, you are looking at 30 to 50 plus LPA. The overall average for a SailPoint engineer sits around 8.5 to 9 LPA. Going from 4.5 to over 30 LPA in a decade is a phenomenal growth trajectory.
It really proves that specializing pays off. So what is the roadmap? If you are listening to this right now and you have some basic IT knowledge, how long does it actually take to become job ready?
With focused, structured learning, the guide notes it takes about 3 to 6 months to reach a hireable level. But, and this is important, you do not start by blindly clicking around the SailPoint software.
Wait, where do you start then?
You start with the underlying architecture. You have to understand the difference between an identity directory and an identity governor.
Okay, explain that.
Think of Active Directory, or AD, as the company phone book. It stores who is in the building and their basic info. You have to know how AD works inside and out. You also need to understand Azure AD, which is Microsoft's cloud version, now called Entra ID, because every enterprise is migrating identities to the cloud.
Ah, I see. So Active Directory is just the phone book, and SailPoint is the pit boss actively deciding if the person in the phone book is allowed to open the vault.
Exactly. Once you understand the phone book, then you touch SailPoint. You practice configuring the connectors that link SailPoint to the applications. You run mock certification campaigns, and you build provisioning workflows on either Identity IQ or Identity Security Cloud. And the final, vital step is certification.
Do certifications actually move the needle in this specific niche? I know in some tech fields they don't matter as much.
In identity security, they are incredibly powerful signals. They clear HR filters and prove hands-on competence. You want to start by securing a SailPoint platform certification either for IOQ or Identity Security Cloud. And as you advance toward those highly paid architect roles, you layer on broader industry credentials. The Microsoft SC300 for cloud identity is excellent, and eventually you aim for the CISSP, which is basically the undeniable gold standard for senior cybersecurity roles.
So the path is crystal clear. You move from engineer to consultant to lead to architect,
right.
And at every single rung of that ladder, your job security is backstopped by a massive global talent shortage
yeah.
and strict government compliance laws.
It is arguably one of the most resilient career paths you can choose in the technology sector today.
Okay, let's bring this all together. We started this deep dive by debunking that Hollywood myth of the hacker breaking through a firewall, realizing that today they just log in, that reality makes identity the new security perimeter.
Mm-hmm.
And what we've learned is that SailPoint is the premier tool guarding that perimeter. It's the casino pit boss of the enterprise, constantly monitoring, provisioning, and revoking access to ensure the right people have the right access, and absolute nothing more. If you were looking at this as a career, it offers a genuinely rare combination. It provides the premium pay and massive demand of a top-tier cybersecurity role, but with a manageable Goldilocks learning curve that doesn't require you to be a savant-level programmer. It's heavily shielded from economic downturns because of global compliance mandates, and it offers a highly structured, rapidly compounding career ladder.
To take the summary a step further, though, I want to leave you with a thought that builds on a very brief mention in the source material regarding the future of this industry.
Oh, lay it on us.
We have spent this entire discussion talking about governing human identities,
right.
Employees changing departments, contractors leaving. But the guide notes that the volume of non-human machine identities is currently exploding.
Wait, machine identities? You mean like software programs needing passwords?
Yes. Cloud applications talking to other cloud applications, automated bots, APIs, querying databases. They all require authenticated access to function. And the sheer volume of these machine identities vastly, vastly outnumbers human employees.
Wow, really?
They are interacting millions of times a second. And at the same time, SailPoint is increasingly embedding AI to recommend and automate access decisions.
Okay, my brain is spinning a bit. Where does that leave the human engineer?
Think about what this job looks like in 5 or 10 years. If the volume of non-human identities is expanding exponentially and artificial intelligence is making the routine split-second access decisions, human beings simply won't be able to keep up with the manual governance. The SailPoint architect of the future will likely spend far less time governing human employees and much more time acting as an AI therapist.
An AI therapist.
Yes. Your primary job won't be managing people. Your job will be to audit, tune, and correct the artificial intelligence that is silently governing billions of machine-to-machine interactions in the background.
That is wild.
The core principles of identity governance will remain exactly the same, but the entities you are policing and the tools you use to police them won't even be human.
That is a staggering realization. The casino pit boss isn't just watching the human players anymore. They're going to have to watch the slot machines actively playing each other.
Exactly.
That is an incredible place to wrap this up. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Whether you are a fresher looking for a lucrative entry point or an experienced IT professional looking to pivot into a highly defensible, future-proof niche, we hope this unpacked the roadmap for you. Keep questioning how the systems around you work, keep exploring, and we will see you on the next deep dive.